Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Here we are just in the days after Pentecost, and yet this is the season to be opening ourselves to all the gifts. God doesn't just set aside one day. He constantly pours out grace to us. So in these days following Pentecost, we want to say, Lord, equip me that I might be your disciple. Equip me with the gifts that you have for me. I really encourage you to read my book, More of the Holy Spirit, to see all those gifts that are available and that can really help you. I've tried to do as much of an explanation as I can, and I encourage you. You can order it simply by going online, renewalministries.net, and you can order the book from there, More of the Holy Spirit. Today we take a look at the book of Sirach, chapter 36, chapters 1 to 5 and 10 to 17. Come to our aid, O God of the universe. Look upon us. Show us the light of your mercies. Put all the nations in dread of you. Thus they will know, as we know, that there is no God but you, O Lord. Give new signs and work new wonders. Gather all the tribes of Jacob that they may inherit the land as of old. Show mercy to the people called by your name, Israel, whom you named your firstborn. Take pity on your holy city, Jerusalem, your dwelling place. Fill Zion with your majesty, your temple with your glory. Give evidence of your deeds of old. Fulfill the prophecy spoken in your name. Reward those who have hoped in you, and let your prophets be proved true. Hear the prayer of your servants. For you are ever gracious to your people and lead us in the way of justice. Thus it will be known to the very ends of the earth that you are the eternal God. The word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. When you pray, do you pray like this? Or is your prayer more on yourself? Not that we shouldn't pray for ourselves, but where's the focus of your prayer? Look here at the book of Sirach, chapter 36. Look at this. Come to our aid, O God of the universe. Look upon us. Show us the light of your mercies. Put all the nations in dread of you. Lord, bring all the nations of the world to be subject to you. Do you pray that way? We should. Gather all the tribes of Jacob that they may inherit the land as of old. Show mercy to the people called by your name. Take pity on your holy city, Jerusalem. Give evidence of your deeds of old. On and on, Lord, Lord, we are a people in need of you. We are a people who look to you. We are a people who long for your mercy. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, and save us. Come, Lord, and help us. Let that be the cry of your heart. Pray that way. Psalm 79, show us, O Lord, the light of your kindness. Remember not against us the iniquities of the past. May your compassion quickly come to us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God, our Savior, because of the glory of your name. When you read the Psalms, brothers and sisters, when you read the Psalms, look at the Psalms that most speak of the needs and the desires of your heart, not just for you. Don't do that. Not just for your family, not even just for your parish, not even for this country. Pray it for the whole world. Pray it for your parish and your family and for yourself, but pray it also for the whole world. We need voices crying out to God to come to us, not just to take care of my needs, but to take care of the needs of the poor and the weak and the suffering. Those who've had to abandon their homes, those who are living in destitution, pray for the world. Some say, cry out full-throated and unsparingly. Cry out. That's what God wants to hear. A people who know that they're part of a people. I'm not just an individual. I'm part of a people, and I pray for all people. Because what benefits the whole benefits me. But so often our prayer is just on us, me, my needs. And yes, absolutely, we need to bring to the Lord our needs. Absolutely. But expand it, brothers and sisters. Start to think as the Psalms do. Read the Psalms. Let them be part of you. This is Psalm 79. Let the prisoner's sign come before you. With your great power, free those doomed to death. Then we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. See, we're not just individuals. We're part of a whole people, the people of God, the people that Christ died for, the people that are baptized in his name. We are part of a people. We're not just individuals. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 32 to 45. The disciples were on the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He's going up to Jerusalem. They're concerned for him. They're worried about him. At the same time, they're concerned for themselves. Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death. But after 3 days, he will rise. There's the whole picture. He tells them, but they can't absorb it. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Do you see? Jesus is calling us to share in his passion, his suffering for the sake of the whole world. And what are they asking? They're asking, "Lord, let us sit at your right and at your left." They're so self-focused, and so are we. But it's so blatant here, brothers and sisters. It's so blatant. We need to cry out to God, to ask him to come to our aid, yes, but do it for the whole people of God, for all the baptized throughout the world, and then for all those who do not know him, do not recognize him, do not follow him. Here's a perfect example. Jesus shares the depth of his heart. He shares what he's facing. And what's the first response? "Let us sit at your right and your left." Can you imagine what that must have been for Jesus? And he replied, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit at your right and your left." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking." In other words, if you want to share in my glory, you need to share in my suffering. Can you drink the chalice that I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, "We can." And Jesus said to them, "The chalice that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized." It's a baptism of suffering. It's a baptism of blood. "But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give. It is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. "How dare you?" And Jesus summoned them. So he pulls them all together. They're all murmuring among themselves. They're all looking at the two who were so bold as to ask God if they could sit at his right and his left. And Jesus gently but clearly puts them down. "It's not mine to give. It's reserved for those for whom it has been prepared." In other words, we need to submit to God's will. And then the 10 heard this. They became indignant at James and John. I wonder sometimes if they were indignant because they hadn't asked first. Do you know? Sometimes I wonder that. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." How many of us lord it over others? How many of us want to be the master and not the servant? How many of us want everybody to do for us what we want, but we don't lift much of a hand to serve those in need? Take heed, brothers and sisters, please, take heed. There is a short article in Magnificat magazine written by Adrienne von Speer. She was a Swiss physician, and she was a mystical writer and bore the stigmata. And she wrote about this passage: several times already the Lord has predicted his suffering to his disciples. Now he is on his way to Jerusalem and goes ahead of them, and they are afraid. We cannot know how profoundly the disciples sense what is about to happen. They have a kind of fearful premonition that this time it will be serious. Alongside this premonition of love, they possess the knowledge that the Lord gave them. He told them what lies before them, and he walks ahead. And if the evangelist mentions this walking ahead here, it is because the others follow after, because the disciples are no longer strangers, but have been drawn in. In other words, what affects the Lord will affect them. My question to you listening to this program: are you willing to be a disciple, to follow him wherever he goes? They are in a community of love, in a community of formation, she writes about the disciples, but also they feel this, and so they are afraid. They are in a community of suffering as well. The Lord loves them in such a way that he cannot suffer alone, just as nothing can befall an individual in a family without the other members suffering with him. Of course, when they receive a premonition of the coming cross, they also know that it is on the Lord's path and not theirs. Yet they are willing to share with the Lord just as he shared with them. And if a little while ago he spoke to them of the persecutions that people would experience for his sake, these persecutions belong also to them. If the Lord came to redeem them by sharing their human life with them, it is not only he who shares in it, but also they. And that's extended to you and to me. If you call yourself a disciple of Christ, we have to be willing to follow him wherever he goes. This is the season of Pentecost. Ask for the strength and the wisdom and the courage to follow him, to say yes to him wherever he goes. It is perhaps, she writes, the first time we encounter this communal sensibility of the disciples in such a way that they are really afraid for him. They will still betray him, still abandon him, still be unbelieving. Nevertheless, they are most deeply bound to him and walk with heavy hearts with him on the road he walks. That suffering will lead to incomparable glory. Are you willing? That's what Jesus asks us. Are you willing to follow me as my disciple on the path that I walk? May God give you grace and wisdom to say yes. I want to offer you a free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. It can be received by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. If you'd like a copy of my CD, Captured by Mercy, which is on forgiveness, you can access that by going to our website, renewalministries.net.